Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Soulful Healing Talk Show. So honored that you all decided to come and spend some time with me tonight. I really appreciate it every Saturday night that you're hanging with me. I really love it. Thank you, everybody on Facebook, Novelette, Anna, thank you, Philip, for being here tonight. Eric, thank you for being here. Everybody logging on, saying healing up the Soulful Healing Talk Show. Thank you so much, Craig. Thank you for being here tonight. Really appreciate all of you guys hanging with me tonight because we have a hot, hot, hot topic ready to be discussed tonight and can't wait for it to happen. We're going to talk about if size really matters. You know, and size could be a lot of things. It could be you know, the size of a tool. It could be the size of your house, size of your bank account, size of your sexual organ, which a lot of people have been focusing on. So I think this is what the focus of the discussion is going to be tonight. And please don't hesitate to call in with your opinion. Would really, really love to hear from you tonight. 646-595-3197. Would really love to hear from you tonight. Don't hesitate. I would love to hear. 646-595-3197. Does size really, really matter? I'm going to start off the show with my first song. And it is an oldie but goodie. Feel this, I easily stand up in it. All right, so here we go. Get your thoughts together, guys. We'd love to hear from you.
Now this song is going out to all of you players, wannabe players, wannabe pimps, Mac Daddies, or whatever you call yourself. Well, you better get your game face on. Cause this old lady told me one time, she said, son, you men think you know what women want, but you don't. And then she went on to tell me a story, and it goes something like this. All you wanna be lover, there's something you need to know. Now this old lady told me a story a long time ago. She said the old men think they know what women want. But the truth about the whole thing is, boy, they really don't. She said, I had a man who thought he was the world's greatest lover. But when you add his time up, he was just a 5-minute bro. He used to lick it. One night we was making love, he said, that thing is so damn good, I wanna put it in my pipe and smoke it. She said, the oldest, you need to know that you can lick it and you can stroke it. Now you can kiss it and you can eat it, but you ain't get a doggone thing until you stand up in it. And now this wannabe brother who thought he was the world's greatest lover stopped by my house the other day and caught me with my part-time love. He said, baby, baby, why you messing around on me? I make sure your rent's paid, I make sure your cable's on. Now just the other day, I bought you a cell phone. Baby, ooh baby, why you do me this way? She said the old men think they know what women want. But the truth about the whole thing is, boy, they really don't. Now you can lick it and you can stroke it, but you ain't did a doggone thing until you stand up in it. Now you can eat it and you can lick.
Mr. Edward?
Yes, good evening.
Hey, Mr. Edward, how are you doing? Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for coming to spend some time with me with this topic.
Absolutely. You know, it's always my pleasure to, you know, chit-chat with you a little bit, you and your audience. So it's yeah. hardly a problem, Janet. It's not never a problem.
Well, I'm so happy you're here with me tonight because I know you would have a lot to say about this topic.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know if
but
that is always good, but...
Does size matter, Mr. Edwards?
Well, first, before I even attempt to answer that question, let me just say a pleasant good evening to all your listeners, wherever in the world they listen to you from. A pleasant Saturday evening to you. So with that said, the question is, does size really matter? We'll ask this question specifically as it relates to male genitalia or female genitalia, which is which?
It can refer to both.
Yeah, because when we ask that question, we tend to assume all the time that it only applies across to one gender. But there are guys have the same preoccupation as some women have about that same subject matter of size. So that's why I asked specifically, are you making reference to men or women?
To both. Well,
okay.
You can answer for
the men, right. Yeah, well, here's what I will say. It's just left up to the individual, right? It's more what one particular person desire for herself or himself, all right? We also have to take the cultural differences as it relates to sex and sexuality into consideration. And what I mean by that is, anatomically, it has been said and proven that the African-American male will have a larger genitalia than the Caucasian male. I think everybody know that to be true, hands down. So within the Caucasian culture, because that is pretty much the size across the board per se, it becomes acceptable as part of their experience. So there's no question about looking for a bigger one within that race per se. Of course, there might be variations and, top, down, top, bottom, whatever. But for the most part, it is understood that Caucasian men, white men, will have a significantly smaller genitalia than the African American male. All right. So with that said, the African American woman who is used to a particular size per se will complain a little bit if she run into a guy, maybe a guy like me, for example, who have a much smaller whatever, you know what I mean? So you see the argument I'm trying to make. If you're used to one thing and then you are exposed to something that you can compare that which you're exposed to what you had been exposed to prior to this experience, then clearly you would prefer to go with the size that made you feel much better. But in terms of white men and white women, that experience is somewhat static, where you expect it to be that way, and it's maybe a rarity to find white men with bigger size penises.
I can understand where you're coming from with that argument, but I also believe that I'm just talking about myself as a woman.
Uh-huh.
I look for more than the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
There is more important variables to the person, to me. Like your skills, because it don't matter what size you are if you don't know how to use it. How to manage what you got. Because some men may think because they have a big dick, they don't need to try to be attentive or skillful. They think they can just pony
because the perception is at least for African-American women, that's what they want, is like the whole idea now that the African-American male likes a girl with a big butt kind of thing. It's that same parallel. So the African-American man is misled into thinking that black woman, that's, so long as they have that, the black woman problem is solved. And, but here's what is interesting, though. The university, ULCA, did a study a couple years ago, and I kind of researched this a little bit before I came on. They found that 85% of women across the board, 85% were satisfied. They didn't care about that size issue. 85%, Janice, didn't care.
Yeah, because I think there are more variables to the...
And there was only 14% who wished that their husband's genitalia were bigger, and only 2% prefer that it would have been smaller. 2%. Yeah. So this is an interesting study, and I think it dispelled the myth that has been floating around for quite some time that women are preoccupied with the size of male genitalia. And we're not saying not all women, because this report suggests that 14% of the women, 14 out of 100, they want their partner's genitalia to be much bigger, but only 14%. The other 85% says, look, if the guy's warm, kind, caring, and share their values, that is more important to them than the whole size issue. Yeah? And that is
I agree to him. That is what I say. Because you can have somebody with a perfect size, everything, perfect size bank account, perfect size sexual genitalia, perfect size house and car, and they can be the biggest asshole around.
Yes. Agree.
You know what I mean?
Agree.
So all of that, it don't matter. To me, the things that really matter is the chemistry that you have with each other, the personality, if it is compatible with yours,
right.
You know, the attractiveness, that what is going to draw you to that person, the attentiveness, you know, the loyalty in that person, the honesty, whatever you choose to be your perfect compatibility purpose, you know, as long as they have that. If the size is not satisfactory.
Well, but you have to also keep in mind also that there are some relationships where sex and sexuality is the alpha and the omega. Everything is hinged on that aspect of the relationship and nothing else. And for those people, it's going to matter how long you can go on for, it's going to matter how often you can go on for. And then you also have to keep in mind that there's a real psychological condition where there is addiction to intercourse. There's addiction to sex, right? There's an addiction to alcohol.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that
definitely.
Also is a component that you have to keep in mind, because if you are, a person who is... life is driven by just sexuality, then certainly you'll be more concerned and possibly negatively affected by aspect of that part of your life that is not the way you think or imagine.
It's like me asking you, Mr. Edwards, to if you would choose a girl because of her breast size. You know? There's much more...
I
it would
didn't
be
hear,
like,
that
me asking you, a man, you know, a straight man, if you would choose a girl because of her breast size.
Right.
It wouldn't be that only factor. Maybe that would be part of it, but it wouldn't be the only factor involved.
Right. But here's the thing. No woman who meets a guy, none, I can't think of any, that would say to a guy, listen, I kind of like you, but can you tell me a little bit about your your penis size before you go further.
Right.
I'm not saying there's not one girl out there that might ask that, but I don't think it's a conventional question that you would ask a guy when you're trying to get to know him. So clearly, they'll ask you if you have children. They'll ask you if you're married. They'll, you know, because those things are more important. And it goes to show, because nobody asks about genitalia size. Nobody, when you're trying to meet someone. You could talk all day. That is not never going to come up, maybe among very few women. So that in of itself goes to show, Janice, that it is not as important as people make it out to be.
It's not the top of the list.
It sure isn't.
It's not the top of the list.
And if it is, and if it is at the top of the list, it's for a minority of women, small amount of them. Yeah? And those
ones
are huge.
For mainly sexual satisfaction.
Yeah, or
you know,
they have some
that
kind of...
maybe matter, but there's also a study that shows that, you know, the length of the canal of the vagina is about the same length of the average size penis.
Well,
there's a study that shows that, and it further up there's no sensation.
Here's the deal. Right, because people need to understand. Just to go into the reproductive organ of the female for a minute, from the opening of the vagina, right, to where it ends and meets the cervix, is 3.5 inches in length. That's it. And this is in a developed woman, by the way. All right? So from that opening to where it ends, because the vagina ends where the cervix begins. So that's only 3.5 inches in length. Clearly, during arousal and all that good stuff, it can expand a little bit. And certainly if there's physical force, you can stretch it backwards as far as it may go. But most of the sensation that you get from any kind of sexual interaction is really between the G-spot and the external area to where the clitoris lies. So deep within the walls of the vaginal canal, there's not much stimulation that happens there.
Right.
It's really around the external parameters, the G-spot area, and clearly to the anterior position, which is where you have the clitoris in that general area. So, again, you really keep that in mind, and you understand that you really don't need size to effectuate the kind of stimulation that you would need if you're talking about sexual satisfaction. And for the most part, I think this whole rough, aggressive, you know, manhandling of the vaginal cavity doesn't really adds up to good intercourse, at least not in my opinion.
Right, and men forget that also women love foreplay, and a lot of that is not included these days, you know?
Right, and the reason for that is because there's the perception, there's this twisted perception among some men that you don't need that, and most women don't want that, and it has become a very selfish, one-sided experience, if you ask me, right? Which is a turnoff for most women, because without foreplay, there's no stimulation, obviously, there's no vaginal fluid, there's no lubrication. So the sexual experience is going to be anything but satisfying. It's going to be painful. It's going to be without any kind of fun to it. And who can really enjoy that, Janice? Seriously.
Nobody. Nobody.
Right.
So a lot of that is included, and it don't matter what size you have. You could have the perfect size or a too big or a too small. If you don't know how to... get your woman turned on and ready for you in a certain way, then you're not doing your job. It has nothing to do with your
size. you know, Jan, it goes back to the same maxim that says it's not how much money you work per se, but what you do with that money that makes you succeed. So it's not whether you have a small penis or a big penis. I don't think that is really the core. At the core of the matter is how you go into. Here's the thing: the mindset going into the sexual encounter has to be that it's not just about you alone that needs to be satisfied. I think that is where it starts. You have to understand that sexual intercourse is in fact a two-way street, and so it's never about you ejaculating and then go back to the refractory period while the lady sits there trying to figure out when is this going to begin, when you already ended. You know what I mean? So you have to go into the experience saying to yourself, how am I going to make this lady satisfied, just like I want to be satisfied? And if you go in with that thought, then you'll do what is necessary in terms of your actions, foreplay, kissing, fondling, whatever, just to get the lady to a position where she too can enjoy the sexual experience. But unfortunately, not too much of that happens anymore. Sex has become very mechanical, very robotic, and it's a bigger problem, I feel, with African-American, Caribbean men particularly. That's my observation based on talking to other women. Now, of course, I'm making a general statement here. I'm not saying all. This is, you know, but based on what I've heard from talking to other women, it is a problem. It is a problem.
Yes, it is a big problem because just pay a little mind, you know, the minority of women who have an orgasm vaginally, it cannot compare to the woman who have a clitoral orgasm. You know, so pay attention to that.
Right.
You know, a larger penis is not critical for G-spot stimulation.
Right.
Okay. And being a superstar in bed have little to do with your penis size.
Oh, and that is a fact. And we should say that again. Being a superstar in bed has little to do with a penis
with
size.
Penis
that is factual.
Size.
Factual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spend more time.
It has to do with many other important factors.
Yeah. And you know, the mindset is where it all starts. What kind of mood is that woman in? What kind of mood does she need to be in for this to happen? You know, are you going to be doing what is required to get her to that point where she needs to be? What does she like? What does she dislike? What turns her off? That kind of thing. You have to know all these things. And if you don't know, you ask, because it's better to go into a war prepared. And I use that word not in the literal sense, but in a figurative sense. You have to know how you're going to become victorious, or you're going to win, or you're going to come out feeling like you've done the right thing, and your girlfriend saying, look, that was a good moment. Because when you hear that, you know you have done your job.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of men go in with this, you know, feeling bad about, they get hung up on their size, you know, and that it shows in your performance that you're not confident enough, you know, and then the sexual satisfaction for both you and your partner, that is kind of hindered because you're not putting forth that confidence and working with what you got.
Precisely. And that is also a huge factor. Yeah, but generally speaking, though, for the people who are more learned and who take time to understand the whole business of sex and sexuality, they're pretty on board knowing that the size thing is really a myth. Countless research has shown, the latest one we spoke about, was one done by some scientists, social scientists at UCLA, and they're making it clear that 85% of these women says, look, we don't care about that stuff, quite frankly, but 14% do, and then 2% says, we would like it to be smaller kind of thing. So, and I guess it depends on what is going on with them. So generally speaking, affection, being funny, being able to share laughter, being able to express concern, show empathy, understanding, accepting when you're wrong, apologizing, doing something different and unannounced, unexpected for your other half. Those are the things that somehow drives the relationship forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, it is very crucial, and I think a lot of that is missing. And
right.
When you don't get the response you are looking for, then there creates a bigger wedge between everything. But nobody is putting out that empathy, as you said, Mr. Edward. Nobody
yeah.
wants to listen and communicate. And a big thing to some men need to suspend their pleasure for other women's pleasure.
Yeah.
For your partner's pleasure.
Right. That is kind of very hard to do because inherently the human brain is wired to satisfy self first. And if you look at all the humanistic psychologist approaches over the years, you'll find that we will protect self first and then think about others. So that's why there's no question that a mother trying to save two children from a burning building, one is hers and one is her neighbor's child, inherently she's going to try and save her own children. So what you just said in theory is something that men could work on, but in practice, it's almost impossible for them to do it because the brain is just wired to take care of the self first. I don't know if that's a bad thing, but it's what it is. Whether it's good or bad is really a secondary question. But also the influence of society on matters like these, particularly pornography, and what you see play out sometimes in those scenes being staged. Sure.
You're there?
I'm with you.
Mr. Edward?
I'm hearing you, Janice.
Can you? Okay. Talk again. Let me see if I can hear you.
Yeah, man. I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. Now I can hear you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You were cracking up before. But yes,
sorry
I believe
that.
Men should focus on, you know, if you care about a woman's pleasure, sometimes
right.
you have to suspend your own so
right.
she can have hers and reward you.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's hard. You know, it's you know, like I mentioned, the brain is wired funny. And so we tend to look about our own first and then worry about the person behind us. I was also mentioning the impact of pornography on these matters, how, you know, the porn industry and the message that it sends, most of which is not real either way, but we subscribe to it and we believe that that is how it should be. And that, too, is a big problem. And as you know, that's probably one of the biggest industries in this country after alcohol, you know what I mean? So there's mm-hmm. all these forces working against people with relationship and the unreal expectation being put both on women and men, and it is driven by society for the most part. You know what I mean? You know, we can't stand our ground these days. We seem to go anywhere the wind blows, and what we see other people doing, whether it's right or wrong, we believe we should be doing it as well, and that is also a big part of the problem.
And, you know, we spoke about the men's organs, and men have complaints about their partner's organs too. Some
mm-hmm.
would complain that it's not big enough for them, and some complain that it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had that problem?
No, I think, again, and this is where the whole issue of foreplay comes in, because a woman who is well foreplayed and
relaxed,
all that
yeah.
stuff, yeah, there's no issue as to whether you will able to, you know, gain entry, you know, vaginally, because she'd have already been well lubricated and all that good stuff. So it wouldn't matter then. You know what I mean? There is a clinical condition, I forgot the name of it, in which there is really, really constriction of the vaginal cavity, which really allows nothing to enter there. That is a anatomical, medical condition which can only be corrected surgically. So there's nothing else to do in cases like those.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think, you know, our body were made a certain way, and there's no point trying to reinvent the wheel. We accept what we have. We work with what we have. And for the people who can't deal with us the way we are, we tell them a nice goodbye, and we move on. Yeah. That's what it is.
That is true. Take some time.
But Janice, what are you going to do? If you run into someone that tells you, for example, that your vaginal cavity is too large, for example, what do you do? Go get a needle and thread and begin sewing? That's not, you know, what you got is what you got. You know what I mean? And if it means that much to the person. Right. What you got is what you got. And if it means that much to the person, to the point where they can't handle it, then they have to move on and seek that which will make them happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, for the woman who is even insecure about it also, there are exercises you can do to tie.
No, but you only become insecure about these things when you allow the opinions of other people to seep into the point where it affects you. You know that some people have no problem with their body until somebody else tells them there's something wrong with them. Trust me. They're perfectly fine until somebody comes into their life and say, hey, that is a problem. Then they automatically make that which was never a problem before, all of a sudden it's a problem. No, it happens.
It happens.
But and people should be mindful of that. Mm-hmm.
Also women who are conscious of it themselves, and there are exercises like the Kegel exercise. You could do those. Those are effective, and it does put
kind
more
of
pressure.
A little. Yeah.
You know, all of that, it strengthens the pelvic floor,
right,
and let everything more enjoyable. Some women really have a issue with this. You may not hear them talk about it, but they do have issues with this. And women,
I think the woman who usually have that is, you know, there are some women who have very wide pelvic bones. Right, they don't. This is just a structure of that area, and then based on that structure, I suppose you could wind up with a more extended vaginal cavity than a woman who have a smaller frame, smaller pelvic girdle, that kind of thing. But at the core of it, Jan, is people saying, look, you have to love your body, regardless of what you feel about it. All right.
Yes.
You can take whatever steps you can to improve the areas that you find problematic. But don't assume some part of you is problematic because somebody told you this. You don't have a problem with it. So that's what I have a problem with. I have a problem with people who start to believe they have a problem because somebody told them they have a problem. You know what I mean? You were fine all along. It never bothered you. You live your life happily ever after, and then boom, somebody come and say, hey, that should not be that way. No, it has been that way forever, and it never bothered me. So I'm not even going to think about it now. Sometimes you have to take that approach, you know? But what people want for you is not always what you want for yourself. You know what I mean? And I think that's the distinction people have to make. Does this bother me to the point that I need to fix it? And if it don't, maybe you probably leave it alone. But however, if that person means that much to you, where you say, you know what, this doesn't really bother me, but Janice means so much to me, I'm going to try and fix that problem. That's nothing wrong with that as well, as long as you don't let it feel, it shatter your esteem and make you feel lesser than a person. You know, you have to be mindful of that because it does happen.
Of course. It's all of those things are issues that, you know, and nothing is black and white. Everybody have issues in their relationship that they have, because not only in their relationships, They have issues within themselves that project itself into the relationship. That's what I'm trying to say. And we always have to work on ourselves. So, you know, feeling good about what you have, whatever size, good or, you know, big or small, in woman or man, this is what you are. You can't, if you can't change it, you can't change it. You have to accept it about yourself and present it as best as you can. Because society itself has labeled, put labels on us without us even knowing what they mean.
Absolutely.
You know, they have put labels on us. A small dick man has no potential. That is a lie.
Right, a short man is, tall man is this, whatever. Yeah,
right.
you hear them all day long.
You know, they label you, and you don't even understand what the labeling means, but you have held it as your truth because you didn't see anything else. Nobody taught you about your own worth. So this is what this show is about. You know, is not the biggest thing. Even in your bank account is not the biggest thing.
Right, right.
Because, you can have it all and you can be the biggest jerk around. And that is not beneficial for none. So,
the point you're making is those things don't really define personality and how you interact with one human being to the next. You know, they're just... society mandating that certain people have a certain thing, or if you drive a certain car, then you have more status. And we sign on to these things, like you said, without fully exploring them. So sometimes we just have to pull back and be our own selves. And you can live in a society, but you don't have to go with everything that society dictates to you. You can hold your own ground and be me. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's got to be you. You know,
yes,
so that's how I look at it. But generally speaking, you know, Jan, you know, this is a pressing issue that we hear people talk about a lot. And I've always said when I hear it, I says, look, it depends on how much control you want that to be over you as an individual. If you don't want it to be a control over you, the size issue, then it won't. If you want it to be, then it will. And that's how I leave that. And you have not to decide how you want the soul size issue to affect you, and then you work with it from there. Me personally, it's not a big deal, you know, because you don't go into a relationship preoccupied with that to begin with. There's so many other things that you can be preoccupied with but that. But then there's the other side of the coin where there's some people who are preoccupied with only that, and those are the people who are going to have an issue with these things, not me certainly. Mm-hmm. All right. So I have to be on another platform in a few minutes. So I'm going to leave it here if you'd allow me to. And,
I love that you tuned in with me. I really love that you tuned in with me.
No problem.
Thank you
no problem.
Much.
You know what I say? I'm going to
hit the nail on the head earlier in the show.
Right. And you know, Janice, I just want to put it out here on your program a little bit. I know you know the work I do, but for somebody who's hearing me for the first time this evening, I'm over here in New York, and we help Jamaicans all over the world with any Jamaican-related matter. And certainly we also help folks living right here in the United States, anywhere in the United States, with any immigration-related problem. What we're doing up here, Janice, up until December 20th, to give back to the community, to give back to the people as a Christmas gift, we have reduced the cost of service by 75%. You follow that?
Wow.
So what that means, Jan, is if a cost of service would cost you $1,000, you're only going to pay $250 for that service, just to give you an idea. And this is how we give back, but they only have until the 20th of December to take advantage. So whether it's renewing a green card, file for citizenship, file for your children, you lost your green card, you want to file for your mother, your sister, whatever it is, you can take advantage by getting 75% off. And my toll-free number, very quickly, you can write this number down anywhere in the States you are. You can call me if you have a question. 1-800-546-5152. 1-800-546-5152. And Janice knows the kind of work I do, because she was once a client of mine, came for service, got what she wanted. So she can tell you that we do what we say we're going to do.
Yes,
so write the number down, save it.
Reliable.
Yes, save the number, give it to your friends. It's 1-800-546-5152. Janice, it's my absolute pleasure. And please feel free, call me up anytime. For you,
you,
I will
so
always find time to chit-chat with you a little bit, okay?
Always love having you, Mr. Edwards. Good time.
Not a problem, my dear. Great.
All
Take
right.
good care. Bye-bye.
You too, thanks. And trust me, this is a very good deal. 75% off? That's wonderful. So, guys, give him a holler if you need any kind of immigration stuff dealt with. You'll be in good hands. So grab on to him. Very good deal for the Christmas. Hang on to it. So we got that out of the way. Does size matter? It doesn't really. And even in the sense of a bank account, yes, we all know that money makes the world go around. And money can do a lot of things. But is a bank account better, really? Is it necessarily very better for us? You know? For today, in most societies, the pursuit of wealth is almost as if the desire to be rich is a foregone conclusion in our life. It is so strong, it's like something that has to happen. The prevailing view is that wealth is good and that we should go after it as much as we can. Okay? We learn that material possessions and riches enhance our enjoyment in life, and wealth provides the opportunity to find greater fulfillment. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm not saying money don't help you to do the things that you should do. You pay your bills without any worries, so you can be able to go somewhere without any worries. It's beautiful, you know? But recently, especially with all that has been going on in this world, with all the greed and the killing for greed, and it has, you know, really affected me in a way that it seemed to me that the pursuit of wealth is based on the incorrect rationale that the presence of money is always good, you know, that it always brings benefit into our life. And this is not always the case. You know, once our basic needs have been met, you know, you can pay for the roof over your head, you can pay for the food on your table, you can pay for your light, you can pay for your water, you can pay for your car. You know, all your basic needs have been met. You know, money contributes very little to your overall happiness and well-being. But more than that, you know, there are actually a number of dangers in possessing riches, especially when you're not ready for money. When you're not ready for money and you get money, it just goes. And there are dangers with it. So, you know, at the very least, there are many, many other things better than being rich. You know, I know it may sound silly because our money can definitely make us enjoy more of life, in that we're not too worried, stressed daily, every day I understand. But being content within you, having a sense of contentment in whatever state you're in, is far more valuable than riches. Because whoever finds contentment in whatever state they're in is always satisfied. You know? When you have money and you don't have it, you start worrying and start robbing it. When you want more, you start killing, you know? The love of money. Look, guys, I would love to hear from you. Call me, 646-595-3197. Give me a call, please. 646-595-3197. I'm going to play a song, and then you can call me. To me, this is much better than having money. What happened?
Searching to find love. No earth is, she needs my love. Searching ready anytime for divine love. I need all in my arms to charm and keep my warm. Oh, and I'll be flowing on and on from dusk till dawn. So warm when she's cold. Be by your side, so brave and bold. Oh, I'll be in full eye charge. Lightning flash and thunder roll. Let's get close, now we've got no time to show. Just in place, you have never been told. You should know, girl, you're worth more than money and gold. I need a ring, I am to charm. And he, I want. Oh, and I'll be flowing on and on. From dusk till dawn. For Africa than Hollywood. She said never get caught like the Hollywood. She need a wedding and no revenue. No, she truly good. No matter what the time or weather, I need her clothes by high. She's a warm and tender. She's a joyful and high wheel. I need her in my heart to charge.
Welcome back to the Soulful Healing Talk Show. Thank you for hanging with me still. Really, yes, Gregory, I got your question. Bigger wages assures better quality work. Yes, that's for sure. That will always be the big thing, where bigger is better. Our paychecks will always show that. That is what it will always show. Our paychecks will always be better, bigger. Yes, that's for sure, because a lot of times we are not paid thoroughly for the work we've done. It really doesn't matter, you know, what we do. We don't get any recognition. We don't get any raise that is going to satisfy us. We get maybe a 25, 50 cent raise. That is not helping people. Look at how food is going up every day. We need help other than this 50 cent raises. We need more than that, people. All right? So give us more than that. But with what I was talking about, being better than being rich, we need to be paid. It has nothing to do with being rich. We need to be paid fairly. We need to be paid fairly so we can survive in this world. Not only basketball players and football players and politicians need all the money, and actors. We, the little pawns of society, need some too. And I'm talking about everybody who has suffered by the hands of the system. You know, now they want to come with not paying you for working. They want to give you time off for working. I've never heard of that before. That is bull crap. We need some money for working, not time. Okay? Money comes and goes, and sometimes very quickly. And that is why I say contentment, you know, rises above our circumstances. Contentment offers us happiness regardless of our financial state. So it's always good to have a little contentment and not be run by the money of this world. You know, anything we find that is more than enough in our life, it creates an immediate opportunity to make other lives better. So be a little bit more kind. You know, if you have more than enough, share. That is how you be content with you. You know? We can accomplish, you know, great things in this world if we took our eye off of money. Because money makes you selfish. Money makes you greedy. You know? And it takes a lot of good out of you. And I'm not saying that there is not a lot of people who are rich that are good. You know, but sometimes, as I say, you have to be ready for money. Sometimes I think riches will provide greater freedom for our lives. But we don't recognize how much freedom we actually have to sacrifice to simply find more of it. Okay? So think about all of that. You have to be ready for money. You have to be ready not to be selfless. You know, choosing to live selfless lives that seek the benefit of others. You know, help to benefit the life of somebody too. You know, bring some meaning and purpose and lasting effect on somebody's life and your life. But when you do that to somebody's life, it affects your life. You know, so bigger wallet is not always better. Because somebody have a bigger wallet than you don't mean they're better off than you. You need to have all of this within you. so you can appreciate the money better within you. Okay? You know, when you live selfish, self-centered lives, it's neither attractive or fulfilling. So try to live your life in compassion with your brother, man. That is what we've been missing out of. You know, once you have something bigger and better, you just want to show it off and let the other person feel bad about it. But the other person don't need to feel bad about it. You know, don't need to have any regrets. Okay? Given the choice, what would you choose? Honesty, integrity, and character, or riches, or a bigger organ? Which one would you choose? These are the important things in our lives that we have to consider. You know, we hear everybody talking about it, but there's so much to choose from. It makes laying our head on the pillow each day easier for us when you have all of these things. You have honesty, integrity, and good character. You know, you're also passionate about life. It's far greater to have a career and a life with love, waking to up to, than a high with no satisfaction. Okay? No positive contribution, and it don't provoke no passion in your day-to-day life. Yes, you may have a really good paying job, and nothing is wrong with that. Try to bring passion into your life with everything. The more wealth we obtain, some people have less compassion and less empathy. They feel towards those without. You know what I mean? I'm not saying everybody does, but it happens a lot of times. Okay? I'm sure there are people out there with money that help the less fortunate, but it's very, very few. Okay? Wealth often brings with it a certain level of pride. You know? And at least we need to intentionally remove the pride tendencies out of our life. Humility is something better to embrace. I'm not saying not to feel proud of yourself or what you have achieved and all of that, but no, it is best to see the humble part of life sometimes. You know what I mean? Humility calls us to embrace, you know, its hidden power, where freedom comes. It would be a shame to miss it. Find out what humility is. You can have a lot and still have humility because you're humble. You know, you can lose it in a minute and you have been without before. So remember that stage of life. Don't forget your stages of life when you go through them. Okay? Learning how to live with less sometimes can be very resourceful. It teaches us the value of things, you know, as replacement. We can use things. When we are rich, you can buy everything. When you don't have resources to go buy something, you have to take your hand and turn fashion. You know, nothing is wrong with that. we can stay connected and appreciate things that taught us things when we didn't have. It taught us experiences enriching our life. You see the magic in life when you need to depend on magic. When you have money, you think you have money, you can just spend, and nothing can hurt you because you have the money. But when you have to work towards what you have on a shoestring budget, you see a lot of magic there. Okay? Sometimes riches results into deeper relationships. Yes. But once you don't have your riches, your relationships go down the drain because that's all that held it together. Okay? Intimate, connected relationship continues to provide the joy in your, that money can buy. When you have an intimate relationship, money can come between you. Okay? You persevere. And with perseverance, you develop very powerful characteristics that can only be discovered through trial. And you see the magic appears in your life. And while riches cannot remove every trial in your life, you know, they can remove just enough to keep perseverance from taking root in your heart. Okay? So, nothing is wrong with having money, but I'm just showing you, without money, you can still be happy. It is not always better. Okay? You know, happy. Think about what happy. As I mentioned, once our basic needs have been met, money contributes very little to our overall happiness. You know, gratitude, generosity, and contribution, it takes you further. And that is a real goal in life to me, is to live joy and to help others, and to help yourself, all at the same time. And don't get me wrong, as I said before, I'm not contending that those who have riches cannot be content. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they can't be content. I can't say they can't be humble. I'm not saying they're not connected. I know many people are out there who are just like that. And I will never say that those without wealth are better simply by the nature of that qualification. And I will never say that, you know, I know the height of every category I spoke about. But in my heart, right, with all my heart, the pursuit of riches can, if you're not ready for it, it can lead you to make wrong decisions. It is not a pursuit to be automatically accepted as the wisest course of action for our life. You have to be ready for it. Okay? When you some people, I was thinking a while ago. Yes, Leslie, that is what I'm saying. Some people are better off. They become such a different kind of person. They become greedy and they make bad decisions and they lose every cent. And when they lose everything, they become so humble. Some people, you just need to be ready for money before you get it, because it can turn you into somebody you're not. Okay, it can make you make wrong decisions. So it's not all the time, even in the riches department, bigger is better. Okay? Some people find themselves when they don't have anything real. I don't know if you've noticed that with the stories you hear on the radio about the lotto winners. They are much realer when they come back to earth. You know? So, this is what I had to say about that part. What are you saying here, Gary? Oh, Derek wanted to go back. I'm reading on Facebook what he put. Derek wants to go back to the woman vagina. He's saying that when a woman tempts a man in the course before the woman is fully aroused, that is when you find it's hard to enter. Well, that's true. That is also very true, because what happens before the woman is aroused, the muscles in her vagina is clenched. And when she's aroused, the muscles relax much, much more. Okay, and the lubrication process begins, and that it is easier to enter. Yes, you are so right, Derek, yes. And remember that, you know, women, they require a longer time of foreplay, you know, before a woman is aroused, before her vagina is relaxed and become lubricated, you know? The man need to understand this. If he has a big organ and if he finds it a problem, you have to make sure that your woman is aroused. Her muscles can relax and she's more lubricated to accept you. It's not because you have a big domain, that's the only thing that's going to arouse the woman. Understand that. Okay, men? Understand that the woman in every way needs to be aroused. We'd love to hear from you. Here we're going back to the same topic in typing. I would love to hear from you. Call me and put your questions to Mina. Okay, all right. I'll take the typing questions. Okay, Lenny, you're saying in what way do women likes to be aroused? Okay, first of all, a woman's mind is what get her turned on a lot of times. Okay, so you can call her in the middle of the day and you can tell her you're thinking about her body or whatever. That is a big turn on. Secondly, when you get to her, you know, when it's time to do your thing, you don't have to wait until then. You can kiss her while she's cooking dinner. You can help her out in the kitchen. You can show that you're interested in her day, you know. You can put on a massage for her. You can, you know, you can even massage her vagina in nice, delicate ways, you know, not digging it out. You know, leisurely, playfully. The whole body lovemaking is important. The whole body, mind, body, and soul is important to me. Okay? It gives the man and the woman time to warm up. Give them the warm up time they need. And for the woman to produce enough lubrication so everybody can enjoy comfortable intercourse. Okay? Remember that if a woman experiences pain or, you know, the disease that Mr. Edwards was talking about, the vaginismus, it's the unusual clenching of the vaginal muscles. You know, if you have that, try and consult your doctor regarding it. And if you have the looseness problem, try the Kegel exercises. Look it up. I can't get into it right now, but look it up and practice it. There are exercises, programs out there that if you practice clenching your muscles, holding it for a while, releasing it, holding it, releasing it. Do them repeatedly for about, you can do it anywhere. You don't have to be anywhere special. You can do it anywhere. All right, so let me play my next song. Let me play just one. Come on.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. 'Cause here we are back where we were before. Seems nothing ever changes. We're back to being strangers, wondering if we ought to stay or head on out the door. Just once, can we figure out what we keep doing wrong? Why we never last for very long? What are we doing wrong?
Sorry about that. Ariel is online. Says, not online, on Facebook. She says, I was pleased. Please let's focus on the stimulation of the clitoris. You see, gentlemen, this is what the woman like. A lot of women like the stimulation of the clitoris. It's not about all getting it in here and slamming the hell out of a woman. Stimulate her. Stimulate the G-spot. Huh? No G-spot structure either. If there is a region about 2 inches into the vagina, on the front part of the vagina, when it is stimulated, it will lead to serious pleasure. Okay, and that pleasure is likely the result of the inner part of the clitoris and the tissue around it. Okay, so your fingers can do the job, know how to do it. You know, don't be digging. There is, Gabriel want me to focus on this part for the woman, because that part is not clear to men. It is all about insertion of the penis and working, but you have to know how to work it. It's all about your fingers, your hands, every part of your body, experiencing every part of the body. All right, let me finish playing my song. Yes, Ariel. Ariel just wanted me to point out also that her point didn't have to do with the penis discussion at all. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. Because she likes clitoral stimulation. So many have to know what your woman like. You have to know how your woman like it and what turns them on and what they want out of this sexual experience with you. It's not always about the penis at all. Right now, it, for Ariel, is that please stimulate our clitoris. It could be with your penis. It could be you rubbing your penis on it. That's what she wants. The size of it don't matter at that point. So no, she wants clitoral stimulation, whether by your hand, your penis, your tongue, whatever you're using. That is what Aria likes, and she wanted me to make sure to point out that it has nothing to do with the size of any penis. It's just knowing what your woman likes. Okay? And this has been a very interesting topic. Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Thank you guys on Facebook that is tuned in and chilling out with me tonight. I really, 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 although you didn't call, but that's all right. Thank you, guest 1016, for being with me tonight, all during the show. Thank you so much. You have anything to call and say, 1016? Anything? But I'm glad you've been hanging with me. I appreciate it. I really love you. All of you hanging out with me tonight. Really, really, really. The show is almost done, and I'm going to play my last song. But I thank you so much. Always appreciate it, hanging out with me. Type in. That's okay. Texting isn't in now, I realize. But I still want to hear your voices. But in the meantime, you can still call me now. I'll turn down the music. I'm going to play Max Priest's song, Believe in Love. Love is what this world needs. All they keep labeling us, we just need to know ourselves and know what we need in our lives to make us happy. Okay, the important thing. And here we go. Max Priest is going to talk about it.
Oh, Gina, I need to take off your headphones. Listen, love, I need you to go to the market for me.
Okay.
Go on.
Yes, ma'am.
Go carefully, okay?
Throughout my life, it's the only thing I've ever seen survive the test of time is the strength of your love. And when right seems wrong and wrong seems right, just be careful, be strong. Everlasting smile, gotta give thanks for the way you touch my life with your love. And when right seems wrong and wrong seems right, I'll be careful, I'll be strong. Whatever my eyes can see, my heart. The moments when I'm alone, in the times when I'm not sure, I can always call on you. In the moments when I'm in fear, when it seems like no one's there, there's one thing I know is true, I can always call on you. The moments when I'm alone, in the times when I'm not sure, I can always call on you. In the moments when I'm in fear, when it seems like no one's there, there's one thing I know is true.
Okay, Mom, I'm coming.
DJ Cuts.
It real and a better road. No time me stepping at the streets with me brother close. Yeah, more life me need, me forever chose. Me I tell my friend my foes.
From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, God forgive me for everything. Him give me bread for sing. From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, we have it clean and everything real and genuine.
We know office in a picture but no dead poster. Every day me friend them dead, it's like it get closer. Out of the stress, we get a life, we want to get daughter. One heap of things what we go through, we cannot get over. So me no one, no man, no tell me about no six shooter. Give me a work, me take me money, mind them six shooter. So man, I squad, not for them money, them a big joker. Mama, not for your bad, but no shoulder.
From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, God forgive me for everything. Him give me bread for sing. From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, we have it clean and everything real and genuine. Alright.
Me coulda get me eyes shut, but me's a youth to read my Bible as me rise up. Me still a give the thanks to praises all when I ain't broke. Come on in, I go make them show me now no I love.
Hey,
Get a youth to know fi wise up. No make them tell you say you care, you have to try for. If I fi even shock a taxi, I go try for. Then go take up gun for your love.
From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, God forgive me for everything. Him give me bread for sing. From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, we have been clean and everything real and genuine.
This one goes out to all who love them life with no doubt. All when the landlord that tell them move out. From your happiness, I'm not gonna make you lose out. So they provide all this. This one goes out, provide food for the kids them put in their mouth. If I want box food, then it's a go share out. Still I give thanks for life all when I be a trout.
From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, God forgive me for everything. Him give me bread for sing. From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, we have it clean and everything real and genuine. From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, God forgive me for everything. Him give me bread for sing. From we have life, we have everything, we have everything. From we have life, we have it clean and everything real and genuine. Alright.